Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And away we go. It is Thursday, April the 22nd, 2021, 17 minutes past the hour. And away we go here on WWGH Radio. Now, you know, when we do this radio show, this to me is an informal radio show between me and the community, you guys out there listening. I think of a lot of you as friends when I see you at the grocery store or out in public. We have nice little conversations. So I really do think of you as like a little coffee klatch here in the morning, even though I don't drink coffee. I just got the weirdest email sent to me. It has to do with the whole thing that I've been talking about all week in regard to the FCC proceedings. Now, I might talk about it before the morning's over with, but honestly, this is something I had no idea about, and I just read it moments before we went on the air this morning. I truly have no idea what it's about. So I'm kind of curious to find out what this is all about as well. So we'll see how all that goes as the day progresses. But this is one of those times when I truly have no idea what a particular person is talking about. So I guess we'll all find out together. Now, let's get to more important things here. We did the whole FCC thing yesterday. I got to hear the station, one of the repeats yesterday of this show, so I'm very happy with the sound. It sounds good when the callers call in. It sounds good when I'm on the line with the callers. It sounds good when I'm not on the line with anybody, so I'm happy about that we're back to full sound here in the WWGH studios. Although, I think Glenn might be sitting a little far away from the microphone, because when he was on with Dr. Feynman yesterday, it didn't sound quite as good. And I'll just let Glenn know about that when he comes in today. You know, a mistake, and I used to make it too, so I'm not immune from this. I just learned, and I'll pass it along to other people. What some people do when they come in here to the soundboard is they'll turn down. Some people have more sensitive ears than others. And the only way we hear what's going over the air is through our headphones. And there's a headphone knob on the soundboard. And some people will turn that knob down so the sound is not blasting through their headphones. But what that does is they're hearing things not as they are going over the air. Because if you turn down the headphone volume, the only thing that affects is your headphones. It doesn't affect what's going through the radio. So I think sometimes people get a false impression that they're louder than they really are when they turn down the headphone knob, so they start speaking a little softer, and it sounds right in their headphones, but it doesn't sound right over the air, because what they're hearing in their headphones is not exactly what's going over the air, because the headphone knob is adjusted. But to be honest with you, I've made that mistake before as well, so that's nothing new. All right, as we go down the road this morning, what do I want to talk about? Well, I'll tell you what I want to talk about, because we're fairly new to this neighborhood. It's been an eventful morning. And I think, as I have said before, Thursday morning is trash morning. So the city brings one of their big garbage trucks down the road over here. And I must get here just about the time that truck's coming by our new particular location, because for the last 2 weeks, I have run into it both days. But today was kind of interesting, because it's only two lane here on South Prospect. Two lane going in one direction, south. And the trash truck was in the left-hand lane, which is the lane most people go in, because more people tend, because we're before the split, in the road where you can stay on Prospect or you can go back to Delaware Avenue. And most people tend to go back to Delaware Avenue instead of going continuously down South Prospect. So they were in that lane, and we're about half a mile before that turnstile. So the garbage truck is in that left-hand lane and really, you know, just blocking the lane. Now, again, not they have to do their job. They have to get the garbage on that side of the street, so it's just bound to happen. But at 7:30, between 7:30 and 8 o'clock, that's a busy lane. A lot of people going to work in the morning. So what you had out here this morning, because also on South Prospect Street, people can park on the street. And people park on the right side of the street. So here is what you have, if you can imagine this in your mind. Right before you approach the turnstile, you've got cars parked all along the right side of the street. You've got a trash truck in the left-hand lane, completely shutting that lane down for a stretch. So now you're down to one lane. You're down to the right-hand lane. And the right-hand lane is right next to all the cars on the street. And the moment I arrived here this morning was a particularly interesting moment because I was turning off of this side street, which I go down to get here. So I'm turning off the side street, and the trash truck is right before the side street. So as I'm turning off this little side street, which has no traffic light or anything, you really can't see around the trash truck because it's a big truck and it's blocking the entire left-hand lane, and the cars come down South Prospect pretty fast, and there's only one lane they're going in, and that's the right-hand lane, and that's the lane I've got to cross over to get to the side of the street that you park on. So, you know, it was one of those moments this morning where you kind of look and you kind of try to see the best you can, and then you just hop along the street and hold your breath and hope you get to the parking spot. But here's what complicated things a little more this morning in this little, maybe 15-foot area that this is all happening in, is there was a... And I don't really, I still don't know what was going on because I didn't stand outside long enough to find out, but because I have to come in here and do a show, there was a pickup truck with a trailer on it, and the trailer had, I think, a couple lawnmowers in it. Now, it did say the name of the company that's doing this lawn cutting, I guess. I'm not going to say that because there's really no need, but, you know, if you have a pickup truck that has a trailer attached to it, that's taking up, you know, 2 to 3 parking spaces. And that's on the right side of the road now. So you've got the pickup truck with the trailer with the 2 or 3 lawnmowers on the right side of the road, taking up the parking spaces. You've got the trash truck on the left side of the road blocking the left-hand lane. And you've got all the other cars that are parked on the right-hand side of the road. And then you've got the turnstile, which is just right beyond where we're talking about. And cars now down to one lane of traffic. So it was a mess this morning. Has anybody else ever been over in this area when something like that's going on? I'm fairly new to this area. Let me know, 740-383-9944. Or is this a common occurrence around town? You know, as I said before when we talked about the sanitation workers, they're very hard workers. This is not anything to do with the sanitation workers at all. They have to come pick up the refuse. If they didn't pick up the refuse, we'd be in bad shape. But it's just... It's a funny thing on some of these smaller roads, especially one-way streets, which we have talked a lot about on this station. One-way streets are very, very complicated. It makes life more difficult. Because what the one-way street does that people don't talk a whole lot about is it forces you to go one way. Obviously. So you can't turn around, you can't pull in a driveway and pull out and go the other way. If there's congestion in the street, you have to finish going down that way. And when there's all this stuff piled up together, it can be difficult. And right now it's probably all gone because a trash truck was moving at a pretty good pace. I think I just caught it at the wrong time this morning. But the moment that I had to pull off of that side street this morning was a little bit harrowing as I tried to get to a parking space. But give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Would love to hear from you to see what your takes are about what's going on around town. You know, it kind of reminds me of when we've had conversations about the Marion Star, and not about the Marion Star content, more about the Marion Star ending up in people's bushes and things of that nature, which I'm still not sure why that happens. And I'm not sure if that's still happening. Has that problem ever been rectified? Has the Marion Star started to show up on people's doorsteps again, or at least walkways? I mean, I've heard horror stories about that, where it ends up in snowbanks, or it ends up, on the side of the house. I'm not sure why that is. You know, it seemed like when the kids were doing the Marion Star delivery that things used to end up in the right place. I don't know. Any thoughts? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Well, you are on my schedule, Scott, because, you know, I live near.
Yes.
And you're going to have three different instances because, first, usually our recycle goes first. And then, a little bit later, our garbage goes. And then tomorrow, the yard waste will go.
Oh, so we have... Now, is that all done with a great big trash truck?
Yeah.
Well,
a wagon?
But wasn't there a time in Marion where the recyclables... Wasn't that a whole different thing?
Well, it's a pretty good-sized truck. I would say it's about as large as... You know, it's built differently. But it's still a larger truck.
Well, you know... I understand that the trash truck has to go down the street. I mean, we have to have the trash picked up. But the way this street is negotiated is kind of interesting because you have on-the-street parking, which I'm glad for. You got to have on-the-street parking because the driveways aren't that big on the right-hand side. And when that trash truck is blocking one of those lanes, it takes you down to one lane. And the problem is people fly down this street, and I know they're going faster than the speed limit.
35, and that seems pretty quick. At one time when the school was there, it would slow people down. But yes, 35, they clip right down through there that way. But yeah, the way the street is laid out, it makes it kind of complicated for a little bit on Thursday morning. I'm quite sure. My street isn't like that because it's just a side street.
Well, the big problem is right here before the turnstile, you know, like I said, less than half a mile before the turnstile, most cars, what I have observed since we've been here, tend to ride in the left-hand lane because they go back toward Delaware Avenue instead of staying on Prospect. Mm-hmm. And that's the lane the trash truck was in this morning. So mm-hmm. if you were coming down South Prospect, you had to get out of that lane to avoid the trash truck, but then you had to slip back in that lane ahead of the trash truck to get back on Delaware Avenue.
And I'm sure some of these other streets that are set up that way, even if they're two-way, if you have four lanes you're dealing with, you just have to, it's patience, but then a lot of the garbage is taken early in the morning when people are going back and forth to work, and you know that down through there is very busy, connecting the north end of town with the south end of town, and so on and so forth, so...
Well, the other thing was that made it particularly more difficult this morning, which I can't imagine anybody was out mowing a lawn, especially with the weather we've had.
It's called smooing.
Well, it must have been.
Mowing the snow.
But that the two lawnmowers that were in this pickup truck's trailer had not been moved out. I did not see anybody near the pickup truck. I did not see any of the lawnmowers out of the pickup truck. I did not hear a lawnmower, and it was right next to us here on South Prospect. So I was kind of confused why that was parked there, because it's really taking up. I've never seen it here before, so I don't think it's anybody who lives here. But you know, it was taking up really about 2.5 parking spots.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I don't know.
Well, you know, but see, this is the real issue underlying everything. And I know this is not downtown Marion, but this is one of the issues with downtown Marion, is similar problems like this arise downtown.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was talking to my brother the other day, and he gets around. That's his job. He talks to a lot of people. He talks to people from all over. And he says when he's talking to people from out of town, so many of them say, well, I don't like to go to Marion, those one-way streets.
Yeah, and I don't think the people in Marion understand that, because, and I can only speak to Marion, you know, it may be happening in Upper, it may be happening in Delaware, but I don't know. But I know the people in the know in Marion. You have two types of people. The first type of people are the people like what we're doing right now, who are just honestly saying, this is what we hear, this is what we've observed, and this is a problem that needs to be dealt with. And then you have the other type of people who are the downtown promoters or revitalization committee, or the, what they call, cultural corridor. Is that still down there?
I don't know.
But
assume.
You have those people who are not trying to be mean at all, but they're trying to make downtown a go-to spot, so they refuse to hear what you're saying because they think anything that is not a positive is a knock. And they feel that the knocks are what keep people out of downtown, which nobody cares. If I came on the radio every morning and said downtown was horrible, if somebody wanted to go down there, that's not going to stop them.
No, but it doesn't help the cause.
This is an interesting question. Do you really think that people talking in circles, which they have about downtown, and they do it about the mall too, so that downtown's not the only place. Do you think that just people's word of mouth, the average citizen, really hurts those areas' chances of becoming better?
You mean the way you're talking?
If people are having a conversation about one-way streets, or people are having a conversation about there's nothing in the mall, or people are talking about how there's not enough parking downtown near certain places, do you think that that really keeps people out of downtown? Just the talk of it? You think just the talk of it does?
Yes.
Really?
It has an effect. Your words, Scott, if you didn't think your words had any kind of effect whatsoever, would you even come into work every day? If you thought, I'm on the radio talking and nobody's paying any attention to me.
Well, I think they're paying attention. No, I think they're paying attention, but I don't really think, you know, because I'm not a politician and I'm not a business owner downtown and I'm not any of that. So I think people take, just like you would talk to a friend, that, you know, this is what this person's opinion is. But if there was a store downtown that I wanted to go to, I think you would still go no matter what I have to say. I don't think there's that type of influence.
Well, I don't know, but my mind's thinking ahead. Do you remember the other day when Sarah called? Have you been downtown to see if there's been any change in the parking?
You know, I have not made it down there. I was curious to know the reports on that.
Well, I haven't either, because I haven't been out of the house for 3 days. I finally got my internet.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, but at any rate, I do recall going back and hearing them talk about experimenting with South Main between church and center, with making that two-lane north, this two-lane, not four-lane, and then allowing for diagonal parking, and then it would stop when it got to Church Street, because I thought that, I don't know how they were going to do that, but they wanted to experiment with bringing in the street, slowing down the traffic, allowing for more parking, and so I thought maybe that's what they're doing, because I haven't spoken with anyone to know if that's the direction they're going, but it sounded interesting when I heard it.
Well, you know, to be honest with that, I don't think taking Main Street down to two lane is really going to hurt anything, because in that area, there's not a whole lot of traffic anyway.
Right.
But I think the problem, what on in that particular stretch of Main Street, what needs a lot of parking? Is there something there that is really doing a business?
Well, you were just saying the other day, Scott, about the market. They were talking about the market. Right?
Right. Is that on Main?
Yeah.
Oh, straight, okay.
Yeah,
I guess it is.
There's
Main.
A lot of things going on down through there now, and it certainly would help. It'd be an advantage to have more parking down through there, and that is one of the things that people complain about, you know. So as they address all these things, and another thing, that some of these things may seem like they're coming slowly, but all this is happening, too, during the COVID, and that makes a difference, too. A lot of times, half your meetings are Zoom, and I don't think any Zoom meeting is ever going to be as good or productive as an in-person meeting. It's hard. It's harder to add your input.
Well, I'll tell you, my only input on this thing on Main Street is, and as I said, I don't think going down to two lane is going to be an issue, and I, you know, more parking is always better, but where, I didn't see this in the newspaper, nobody ever sent us a note. I guess the theory is we can ask somebody, but why does the city have no PR person?
Well, I don't know. I thought they did have a city person, a person who basically the go-to. Don't they have a lady that is a go-to lady in the city?
I thought there was a downtown Marion manager. Now, I don't know if that would fall on her to get
that. I would think so. Wouldn't that be part of her job to do PR?
Well,
and also, I think some of these things, even though I don't know if I totally agree with it or not, but are such an experiment, like the one down in front of the county building, and it did leave people questioning at first, but they're an experiment. They want to, you know, kind of slowly see what happens, and maybe that's the way they approach it, you know.
If we do have a downtown Marion manager or anything of that nature, I have not gotten an email from them, which is, you know, how people communicate now, for the longest time. But I'll tell you, the police department, Marion Police Department, the sheriff's office, and even the State Highway Patrol have become so much better in recent years about press releases, about everything. And,
mm-hmm.
and that's good. But I don't know why we get nothing from downtown Marion, because, you know, like this drug take-back day that's going on this weekend, you know, the only reason we know about this is because the county, the recycling and litter prevention, I think it's called, sent this flyer to me. And the Mid-Ohio Food Bank that we announced, you know, the Richland Road Church of Christ sends that information to me. So there are groups that I don't even think have PR. I don't think the recycling and litter department has a PR. I don't think that that Mid-Ohio has a PR. And we get messages from City Hall all the time, you know, about the holiday closures. So they're sending out things. We're on their list. And we also...
But Glenn, wasn't he supposed to speak with somebody from downtown the other day?
I don't know, was he? I must have missed that.
I thought I understood that, and she didn't call, or she didn't stop, however it was.
I do remember that now.
Yeah.
Did she ever call?
I don't think so. At the time I was listening, she hadn't. Because it said, it looks like, we're not going to be speaking with, whoever. So I thought he was trying to get some communication going there.
When we were getting ready to leave downtown Marion and come to where we are, I came on one morning and said I was going to tell this story about the real behind-the-scenes workings in certain parts of downtown Marion. Now, I never really did that because I thought about it, and I thought, you know what, we're happy where we are now, everything's fine, and it wasn't an awful situation, but it was an eye-opener to me that all these people, and I know this will sound vague, but all certain people, I can't group everybody, certain people who are always allegedly promoters of downtown Marion and want to say that they will bend over backwards to help you and they want businesses to succeed and they want everything to go on. When the rubber really hits the road, they can become quite difficult people. And it really doesn't fit what they're saying.
Well, now I'm going to say something.
Go ahead.
Possibly some of the negative input often on the channel, whether it's a caller or, the channel themselves is saying, well, I don't understand, this won't work, this is not going to work. That maybe doesn't help the situation.
Oh, you're saying what we do on the air.
Yeah, that's just my thought.
Well, I will tell you this. Here's my feeling on that. Early on, we made a decision not to screen calls because, as you're saying, a call that would be of a negative nature would probably not even make it on the air. And that, to me, is not honest. That's we're weeding out things that we don't want to hear. I mean, we've had people call this station who were negative of me personally, and I don't weed that out, and I don't cut them off until they start to rant and rave. But because I think that's fair, and I never understood if it's not, because I don't think I've ever said anything that just was not a question. Really, why are the one-way streets a problem? It's a questioning term. But I don't understand why people would take that as such a negative, if that truly was what it was. I don't understand why people would take that as such a negative. If I have that type of influence, I'm really unaware of it.
Okay. I don't know. I tend to be a type of person, the balancing act all the time. It's like I can say that, the one-way streets are not always very helpful, but then I'll come back and say, but they are trying, to come up with different ideas. And so I try to balance out the negative with a bit of positive, too, because that's just the way I'm built. That's just me.
Well, there are so many. Well, this is what I don't understand, is because the positive things in Marion. Now, this is the conundrum of Marion to me. The conundrum is that there are two areas, downtown and the mall. And it is exactly what we're talking about. They are not doing as well as other parts in town. If they were, we wouldn't be talking about them so much. And all they do get very touchy when you say something that is not necessarily 100% favorable. But because of that, we never spend time talking about things in Marion that are going tremendously well. I think one of the best hidden gems in Marion that has nothing to do with downtown or the mall is the annex of college students out on, University Drive?
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear anybody ever talking about that. I don't hear the politicians talking about that. I don't hear anybody. They are building more dorms out there for college people to live in Marion who were not from Marion. That's why they need a dorm, because they filled up so quickly. It's close to the university. People are eating in Marion because of it. People are going to stores in Marion because of it. It's centrally located right there next to Walmart and a whole lot of restaurants. That is a great, great addition to Marion in the last 10 years, but we don't talk about it because it's not downtown, it's not at the mall, and it's going very well.
Well, isn't that the way? But you just did, Scott. You just talked about it, and you talked it up.
Yeah, and it's a great, great thing. And I also say the same thing about a lot of the things. I talk about North Main Street all the time. How that is an amazing area of town for commerce, for people. For whatever reason, that end of Main Street, North Main, works very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's things like
I don't know, Scott. I'm standing. I'm standing here thinking. It sounds to me like the station needs to have a regular visit from someone from downtown at least once a month or every 2 weeks or whatever, and make it as positive as you can. You know, I think to myself, well, I know you like to ask a lot of questions, you know, but just make the visit as positive as you can, and open that communications there, and then more people will, you know, look at what they're trying to do, or hopefully not put them down the minute they're doing it, because look at the, back end diagonal. Now there probably certainly were a lot of people that thought, what? That I don't know if I could do that. There's parking out back, but give it a chance.
Absolutely. I do think everything should be given a chance. I just, you know, one of the issues here is not that I think all criticism, constructive, and I don't think we've ever just done a flat out, this isn't going to work, this is awful. I that really doesn't happen here.
Well, I didn't say you did, Scott, but you have people calling in, you know, just ready to think of it not working. And
but isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I mean, because we don't screen the calls and we don't set up the calls. Isn't it interesting that that is the perception of the people who live in Marion? I've always said that one of the issues is, and people can take this as they will, and this is not just downtown, this is everywhere, when they do an event in Marion, and they is covering a wide group of people here, when an event is happening, 9 times out of 10, the tickets are more than $20 a piece. Now, if you are a family of four, and you have got an average income somewhere in the $30,000 to $40,000 range, which is what the census tells us the average income for families in Marion is, how in the world could you spend $80 for a family of four to go to a two-hour event?
What two-hour event are you talking about?
Well, there are programs at the Palace that are in that price range. There are programs at OSU that are in that price range. There are programs at the Coliseum that are in that price range. And, you know, I think this is why the Popcorn Festival has no admission, and that's why it's packed. Mm-hmm. I think that's why on the days at the fair that if you bring a can, you get in free, that they're packed. I just don't you know, you're going to have events where you're going to have to charge more because the entertainment you're bringing in is more expensive.
Yeah.
So I understand that. But like wine tastings,
when you said that before, I thought, okay, there's only certain people that are going to do that anyway. I don't know that because I've had my girlfriends before say, you want to go up and do this or do that? It's only $30. And I thought, I don't really want to do it in the first place. Why would I?
Well, that's...
And that has to do with other cities too, Scott, that they would invite me to do something. I thought, no, I'm not spending that much to do that, but I certainly find other things to do.
But you know,
OSU is a good example. I don't think they had that this winter, but you know they have five nights on campus. Great entertainment. I believe it's $10 a crack, or maybe that's senior prices. But and you can join, you know, and all that. So the things are out there, but maybe wine tasting is not. That's different. Well, maybe
it,
I have a beer tasting.
Well, you know what? And I think that's the one thing that the people in Marion, maybe in charge of these things, have never figured out. That if you look through the 20th century of Marion, Ohio, you know what does well? Tractor pulls. Demolition derbies.
And the funny thing is, would you go to that?
You know, I would go to a demolition derby. Now, a tractor pull, I don't really understand that. But yeah. Demolition derbies, I think, are interesting. But country music always has been big here. Usually at the Popcorn Festival, country music night is the biggest night, draws the biggest crowd. So, but yet, that's not what we try to promote. If you look at 90% of the shows that come to the Palace, they're not in that theme at all. If you look at 90% of the activities that are going on, it's like they're trying to up the ideas from where what people want to do, what people want to go to. And I don't... That's a mystery to me. I don't understand that. Because people used to program their stuff toward that sort of thing.
I do know they go to other cities to see what's going on. I know they do that quite often just to see how people are doing other things, especially cities that are being having success. But in some cases, maybe those cities also don't have the street situation to deal with.
Well, when the charity ball, after 80 years, ended up going by the wayside, and I broadcast from the last charity ball, when I saw the crowd that was there and who it was, I thought, you know, I can understand why this is not able to make it anymore. Because it was just a very internal thing, even though it was open to the public, but it was $50 a ticket. And you know who was there? It was people who worked in doctor's offices when doctors would buy a table and hand out tickets. It was doctors themselves, who a lot of them didn't even live in Marion. It was business owners who would buy a table to end up in the program, and they would hand them out to people who worked at the business. You know, that was the crowd that was there.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
so what's your point?
Well, an event like that that ended up going by the wayside because it didn't have the attraction that it had in the last 80 years, they could have changed and maybe been able to appeal to a wider array of people and still be around. Because I do think people liked it. They liked the idea of a charity ball, getting dressed up. I think people like getting dressed up and all that, but I just don't think that that was certainly affordable for people. But if you had more people coming, would you have to charge that much?
But then you downgrade the event. Would people still dress up? Would they still go out and buy those outfits to wear? It's a different part of our society, you know, that is part of that. I wouldn't spend $50.
Well, isn't that the issue? I mean, I think that's where we are. That
I wouldn't spend $50, but I really wouldn't be interested in going either, say.
Well,
even if it was $10, Scott, I wouldn't be interested in going because I just wouldn't at this stage in the game.
I was given a ticket because a business had bought several tickets. I think they bought a table. So I was given a ticket because they knew I was going to be there doing the broadcast. The people who were putting that on were very happy to have us there doing a broadcast because it hadn't been done for several years. So it was fun. And I got to do it with Madge Cooper, so that was a lot of fun. But to be honest with you, I just kept thinking, who is really here and who is able to get here. And you know what? I probably wouldn't have paid $50 to go myself, even though I did have a good time. But I probably wouldn't have done that.
People with money to help support the charities. I don't recall what the charity was. Do you?
I think it was the Well Baby Clinic.
Was it to do with the hospital?
I think it was the Well Baby Clinic.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that's natural, I think, to invite people that have more money to spend on things like that. And I certainly, there's no, and I use this word because it's just my own word, I wouldn't look down upon them for doing that because they have more money to do. That doesn't bother me. I think that's great that the money is used. They gather together like that, and they have an event that they enjoy, you know, and we also support something. So it's just another way to look at it. But do you have any idea why they stopped?
Well, you know what? And this is one of those moments where if you tell the truth, it sounds murky, but it's been a lot of years now, so I'll tell the truth. I have no reason to lie. But honestly, when the planning was going in, which I was in on a lot of those planning meetings because they wanted the radio broadcast to come off right, there was never mention made that it was going to be the last charity ball. And as a matter of fact, the women on the planning committee, 90% of them were elderly women who had been doing it for many, many years, who did not want to plan it anymore, and used to say in those planning meetings, we need to get people to take our places and take this over and bring a younger feel to this. And they could not get people to do it. And when we did that 80th charity ball, nobody knew going in that that was going to be the last one. And then all of a sudden, when it about came that time last year, or the following year, that the 81st would have happened, when the planning would have started right around the end of August, it was announced that they were not going to do it anymore, and they were going to find another way to fund the Well Baby Clinic. And I always assumed that it was what was going on in those meetings. Those women finally said, we're not doing it anymore, we can't find anybody to take it over, and it was a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of why Women's Club Home there took a time when, you know, because so many people who have put in hours, it isn't all money. It isn't always all money. Time makes, you know, it's people put in time. And when you get to a certain point in your life, you think, I can't do this anymore, so somebody else is going to have to. And the younger people had the opportunity to change it then, change it up a bit, maybe more like a sock hop or something that wasn't quite as expensive, but yet you still need the funds to be up there to support the charity.
Well, I'll tell you this, and how long have you been in Marion?
I've lived in Marion County all my life. I've been here since 67 in the city.
So you remember what I'm about to say, and I'm not just clapping her on the back because she was one of my pals, but Martha Dowse and Joe Manese used to do the Mike Rollins dances over at the Coliseum for many years. And they were broadcast on the radio. And they had huge publicity, and all the money did go to leukemia research down at Children's Hospital. There's a plaque down there with Martha's name on it to this day. But if you go back and look at the Coliseum, seats 5,000 people. And if you look at some of those pictures, I bet you Martha and Joe had some, it went on several years, but for the money that was raised and for the people that came, I bet you there had to be close to 2,000 people there every year. But they had it in a huge area, and they kept the ticket price low even though it was clearly just a donation for leukemia research in the name of Mike Rollins, who had died, mm-hmm. a boy who died from leukemia. But Martha got that, and they did dances of the time there. You know, if you listen to some of those old broadcasts, you know, they were doing the dances of the day. They weren't doing ballroom from the 30s. So, and a lot of kids came. It was kind of like a prom more than a fundraiser, even though that's where the money went. So, I think that's the difference.
The difference is...
that they were able to keep the ticket price low enough to where kids would come.
Okay.
And
yeah.
that also they programmed their event so the kids would come.
Mm-hmm.
They played
well, and you're talking about the personalities between her and Joe, you know, the personalities there to bring people, but you're also talking about how much work anybody that's ever done anything like that knows how much work goes into those things, and it's not always, in most cases, you don't get paid for it. You know that when you go in, you're giving of yourself. And the fact that so many people, so many women were out in the workforce, they didn't have time to do that, to be honest with you, and still spend time with their families. So that took, I think that took, you know, a lot of people out of the volunteering pool.
Well,
you know.
Let me say this as we close this hour out, and I think it's an important conversation. And next hour, we'll open up the phone lines and see what anybody else has to say. And we promoted this on this station. I think the 2 years that it happened, I don't think it has now for a while because of the pandemic. But when the women's club started to do this dancing contest,
mm-hmm.
you know, they raised a lot of money. A mm-hmm. lot of money. Now, this is the women's club, which was thought to be a very old world thing, almost on its last legs, about to go out, couldn't afford to renovate anything. And that's what this money was being raised for, was to renovate the women's club home, was my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And they raised an enormous amount of money in one night. And to me, I thought, and a lot of young people were there in those pictures, and old people. And what I thought the reason for that was that those people finally decided, okay, we've got to keep the ticket price doable, and we've also got to, this has got to appeal music-wise somehow to younger people as well as older people, and obviously they did a good job of it.
Yeah, they had it right.
They did. So it proved to me that even in the internet age, it can be done, but yet we also in this internet age are blaming that on the death of the charity ball, on the death of people going out to see movies, on the death of people going to live entertainment shows, on the death of a lot of things. But yet, on the other hand, there is a new event right out of the blue that exceeds beyond wild proportions.
Oh, you mean the women's?
Yeah, the women's club event.
Yeah, well, it came too during Dancing with the Stars. People were revved up, you know, and dancing, you know. But yeah, but your volunteer base is extremely important.
And
if you don't have them.
Yeah, I know. Volunteers are absolutely crucial. We're going to head to break here, but thanks for calling.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye bye. All right, we'll come back with your phone calls after this break.
For over 35 years. She is a longtime member of Junior Service Guild and has worked tirelessly for many years to give the children in Marion a